It is a joy to be here this morning. It is a privilege to be here this morning. And I thank Home Baptist Church, Brother Gordon, for the tremendous privilege to stand before you. And I thank the Lord, most of all. Brother Collins, really, the message really spoke to me last night, and the condition that I was and am in, just a sinner, but now saved by God's unmerited favor. Amen. And going to that place one day. But while I'm here, it is my desire to worship and serve my Lord. I do want to say this before I get into the message. Brother Kirkman always said, I want to talk a little bit before I begin to preach. I want to say something before I begin to preach. Really appreciate folks at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. We got about 80% of our gang, 90% of our gang here today. And they drove all that way to hear me preach. Brother Grigsby, they'll be leaving after I get done. I will have to say this. It's been a privilege to serve the Lord at Faith Missionary Baptist Church in Traverse City, Michigan. It's been a privilege to follow Brother J.R. Bourne in that ministry that spanned 17 years. Before we get into our message this morning, let us bow together again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can be here today. We're thankful that we can gather together with such a sweet spirit of unity, lift up our voices in song and attempt to worship you acceptably. We pray, Lord, you'd give us not only the desire, but the ability to worship you acceptably. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and I won't have you go to 18 through 20. There are other verses. In Matthew 28, we want to direct your attention to verses 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, we've got the Marys here, they've seen Jesus, or they've seen the empty tomb. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. You ever been to the place where you would have loved to have experienced what they experienced in verse 9? Where they just held him by the feet and worshipped. They just fell out before him. They knew him. They'd walked with him and talked with him. They'd seen him. But now they had seen him as risen Lord. Amen. Now they could worship their risen Lord. With the Lord's help this morning, I'd like to preach on gathered to worship. We say that we gather together regularly to worship. On our flyers and our bulletins and our signs, we say the worship service is at this time. I pray that it is. Over the last little while, I've been doing a study on the Lord's New Testament assembly, and that has transitioned into the gathering together of the body and what the body is to come together for, why the body is to come together. And obviously, a key part of that is to worship God and to hear from God. And recently, I came across a thought that has really transformed my thinking about our services, about the times that we gather together. Why do we gather together, and how do we gather together? Began to swirl around in my brain, although it didn't take very long, Brother Gordon. It just was a quick thought. But I tried to come back to it and come back to it. And then the Lord brought to my attention by way of another preacher. I think he was preaching at Bryan Station. And he said this, just in passing. He said that when we gather together, there are two parts to a service. There's one part of the service where we worship God, where God is the audience. And then there's another part of the service where we listen to God, and we are the audience. We're not gathered together to be entertained. We're not gathered together to be whipped up into a frenzy. These that saw their risen Lord fell at His feet, held Him by the feet, and worshiped. I want to hold my Lord by His feet and worship. And I think that we miss that sometimes because of missing the importance of how we gather and why we gather. These ladies, they weren't holding His feet and worshiping Him because it was the Lord's day. And it was, by the way, the day that He rose, and it was truly His day. We celebrate it weekly, first day of the week. But they weren't there to worship because it was the Lord's day. They were there to worship because He was their Lord. And we get the focus turned around on the things that we many times present the Lord's day as to all the things that a person shouldn't be doing, rather than what we should be doing. And turning it into the positive. This is the day that I get to assemble together and worship my Lord. Hold on to His feet for a little while and worship. And so I wanted to examine a little bit the two parts of the service when we meet together. The two parts, and if we'll really think about this, I believe it will make a tremendous difference in how we think and how we conduct ourselves. This first part of the service, where God is the audience, turn with me in to Psalms 100, if you would. Where God is the audience, Psalm 100. And I believe this part especially, if we will get this in our minds, and this thought will get hold of us, that when we come together and lift our voices in song and sing, we're singing to God. Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. If we could come together with a desire to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, keeping in mind that he is the audience. That when we sing together, keeping in our minds that I'm not singing to impress you, which is a good thing, because I can't sing. And I know that. But when we come together, I'm not singing to you and for you. I have come up and on occasion, never alone, but with another one, sing a special, and I'm not singing at that point for you and to you. I'm singing to the Lord. And if we will get that, and that will get us, it will really transform some things, I think, in our thinking. Because when I come up to sing, or you come up to sing, and let's face it, we're human. We're worried. We're usually more worried about what the people out there think. I mean, I get that as a preacher. I'm more worried sometimes, unfortunately, about what you all think than what the Lord thinks. And if we will get hold of this thought and have it really permeate through our thinking, I am not singing to you and for you, but singing to God. Amen. And that will transform even the reaction of those that are here. Yeah. You see, you know, somebody clapping for a singer and lifting up that singer. No. We're here to lift up God and lift our voices collectively to God. He is the audience. Even if I could sing, I wouldn't want you all to clap for me. I'm not the focus. He is the focus. And we come together then in this first part of the service. The scripture gives us a little bit as to how that's to be done. The Lord said, in spirit and in truth, for starters, led by the Spirit of God, not in the flesh, not in fleshly desires, not for the flesh, but led by the Spirit of God and governed by truth. As we come together, we remember that we see in the scriptures those that the Lord said, truly in vain do they worship me. It was in vain. Hearts weren't right. The object can be even right, but the heart wrong. And when we come together in this first part of the service, I'm reminded of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, let it be done decently and in order. Our services are not to be haphazard. Our services are not to be disorderly. And when you begin to look at those words decently and in order, the word decent is honorable, elegant, in a fitting manner. Well, fitting to what? Or to whom in this case? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see the pomp and circumstance that we give a president or a king, a human king. And things have to be done decently or and in order, or it is looked upon as being irreverent. And yet, sometimes we don't give enough forethought to a service to run the thing decently. Remember the definition, decently, to be honorable to God, elegant, in a fitting manner. We come together where He is the audience. We then come together orderly. We come together formally. You see how it reminds you of a military gathering. When I preached this at Faith in Traverse City, what came to my mind was the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown. Very, very orderly and fitting and honorable. Very decent in its function and the way that the flow of that changing of the guard. We should never run our assemblies with any less dignity, any less order. Because we're gathered together to worship, first of all. To lift up our voices together with God. And then or to God. And it says, decently and in order. That says a fixed succession. A set time, an orderly manner. Decently and in order. There's something comforting to having a fairly regular flow to a service. A child loves things to be fairly regular and normal. You get them out of their routine and they get all out of whack. We're not much different. When we know what's coming next and we know the basic flow, I'm not talking about rigid formality. I'm talking about having things done elegantly, which is implied by decently. Where we strive together, when we're coming together as a body in our home churches, where we are gathering together as elegantly as possible, as decently as possible, as orderly as possible. And why do we do that? Why? Because God is the audience. And He deserves that. He deserves that. So we will have a set time to gather together. A set time of the day, a set times of the week. We gather together. It ought to be timely. It ought to be regular that way. Not just, well, whenever it happens, it happens. And then when we get together, I'll just whatever goes, goes. No! God deserves better than that. Because we say we've gathered together to worship, and He has in His Word prescribed that when we gather together, Paul says, do everything, let everything be done decently and in order. So we have a set time to sing. And I believe it's very fitting that we sing first, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit, but that we sing. We come in from our activities and we gather together and we lift up our voices in song. It begins to get us thinking about the Lord. It begins to get our mind off of the things of the world and get ourselves thinking on the Lord. These that came in Matthew 28 that we read, they didn't have their mind on anything but Jesus. They held on to His feet and worshiped Jesus, their risen Savior. Nothing haphazard or inconsistent about the way they did that. Nothing but reverent. Now, then we should set out to do what we do when we gather together prayerfully. Not just make it up as we go. But prayerfully, Lord, how would you have me to do this? How my part in the assembly is this. How would you have me do that? How, in what manner would you have me do that? And prayerfully, thoughtfully, remembering that God is the audience, thoughtfully thinking, now, He deserves the best. How do I give Him the best of my time or my talent, whatever it is, and then skillfully, just absolutely giving Him the best that we can give Him. And in the process of remembering then that God is the audience of this portion of the service where we come together and we start the service with singing and praise, we say, I'll not seek to do anything that will magnify myself. I'll not seek to do anything that makes me the center of attention. I'll not seek to do anything that will distract my fellow church members from being able to worship, getting their minds off of the Lord and onto me. If we will truly come into the service thinking about the fact that God is the audience, and try to get all the focus on Him, whether we sing, whether we're in various conversations, whether we're serving tables, whatever, all that goes on when we gather together, the focus is on the Lord. In the process of trying to keep the focus on the Lord and trying to keep myself from ever becoming the center of attention, if I have children under my care, I try to keep them orderly so that as to not distract anyone else, because God is the audience, and if the children become our focal point of our attention and we get distracted from laying out and holding on to the feet of Jesus and worshiping Him and get distracted by something else, anyone else, I say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do everything I can to keep my corner of the world running decently and in order so as to not take the focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is the only audience in this part of the service. And then we come together after we've lifted up our voices together in song, after we've come together and we have truly tried to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, we've truly tried to make Him the focal point of the service. We get our hearts in tune, our minds in tune. We've exalted Him and we're reminded of what He's done. We're not just there because it is the Lord's Day. We're now like the two there that had hung on His feet. We are there because He is there. And we're not just, we've sung and we've praised and we've got our hearts on the Lord and we've gotten the mind off the work week, and now we're beginning to really in our minds exalt and magnify God. And now I want to hear from God. We've prepared, you see, to hear from God during the portion of the service that He is the audience. Because we've gotten our mind off of ourselves. We've gotten our mind on to Him. And we've now prepared our minds. Prepared our hearts. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I have been singing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have been trying to do my part in having the service to flow decently and in order. I have tried to do my part to magnify Him and no one in this assembly, including myself. And now, the Word of God is about to be opened. We get to hear from God. We get to hear from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want to hear from Him. Without that, we perish. Right? Isn't that what Proverbs tells us? Thank you. So we go into the second portion of the service. I believe the first part is very, very vital. I think we overlook it. Get the focus wrong. But once that is right, and we begin to transition then and go into the second part of the service where we are the audience. And make no mistake, when the Word of God is opened, we are the audience. We ought to be listening. And Proverbs 29 talks about where there's no vision, the people perish. And that vision is the same vision that Isaiah spoke of when he saw the vision of the Lord. He had heard from God. And that's what we need, to hear from God. And now, you see, with the first portion of the service, with the right focus and flowing the right manner, I am more prepared and ready to hear from God. Because in my mind, I have reminded myself of who I am. And I have reminded myself of who He is and what He's done for me. I have reminded myself through that decent and orderly portion of the service where God is the audience that I need to hear from Him or I'm in desperate trouble. And so now I'm at a place. Give me the word. I'm hungry. Open the book and preach to me. Someone said last night that preachers need this conference more than anybody, and I thought, oh, that's a fact. That is a fact. Look at Psalm 34 with me. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now I want to hear from God. With getting to that point, now I want to hear from God. And then back up to Exodus chapter 19. Familiar passage of Scripture. The word of the Lord was about to be given. Of course, Exodus 20. But there was a time of preparation that was needed. Now I know that truly the preparation for hearing from God is Monday through Saturday night. I know that. I understand that. And Exodus 19, I believe, really cements that thought, that there's an awful lot of preparation that goes into being ready to hear from God on Sunday morning. But just as important as that first portion of the service where we praise God and magnify, like Psalm 34, magnify the Lord together with me. But here in Exodus 19, starting in verse 10, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. There were some things that they needed to do to be ready. The desire can be there, but we're not ready. We not only need to be willing, we need to be ready. And this is a part of it. And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up to the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. And there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives, And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people from out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and that whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. We'll end the reading there, but just look into this text and see some of the very practical things that they were to do to prepare to hear from God. Entering into the presence of God should never be haphazard. It should never be an afterthought. Should never be kind of just cold ritual either. There was a reason they were to prepare. They were going to meet with God. God was going to speak to them. God wanted them to be ready to listen. And now again, that the battle for Sunday morning is fought Monday through Saturday night. I understand that. But a great deal of that battle, the battle really intensifies, I believe, in the first part of the service. Because if we get our minds onto lifting one another up and trying to outdo one another with this special or that song, or we get the focus all wrong, and then the preacher stands up and we're not thinking about the Word of God, we're not thinking about needing to see God or hear from God, we're thinking, man, I should have done that different. I thought I had nailed that one, but then this came along and made mine look puny, and I wish I'd have done that. We're here to worship God. Amen. And so we come together with preparation. We've tried to be well rested. We've tried to give the Lord our best. We've tried to come together prayed up and confessed up and ready to come together with our brothers and sisters, magnify the Lord with our voices. And then when the Lord is preached and His Word is opened, and we're ready to take it in, we're ready to hear from God, because now we're the audience, and when God's talking, we better be listening. You see, illustration after illustration in the Scriptures where when the Lord speaks, how that the men stop and listen. You see, Moses, when he saw that burning bush, and he realizes this is not just burning bush, and it has his complete attention and nothing else is going on in Moses' mind. He's hearing from God. Now, Moses has been prepared for 40 years, well, 80 years, for that moment to hear from God. All the events that God had taken him through all those years, and then the last 40 in the backside of the desert, and now he's ready to hear from God. We need to be ready to hear from God. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, sees the Lord. He doesn't go into a frenzy. He falls out before God. I'm unworthy. But then he listens. Says, I'll go. He listens to the voice of the Lord. In John chapter 6, when the Lord is preaching and has the crowd to scatter with what he's speaking. And he turns to the apostles and he says, "Will you also go?" Remember what Peter said?
Right.
"To whom shall we go?
That's it, amen.
Only thou hast the words of eternal life."
Right.
We got to get the importance of this thing in our minds. We tend to look at many other sources for hope and help and inspiration first, and then see what God has to say about it. If we will come into our services regularly, decently, orderly, with our heart's intention to magnify God and get our hearts in tune, then we're ready to listen and just truly listen and begin to make application. "Lord, what do I do with this? How do I make this apply in my life? This message wasn't for the person behind me or beside me or in front of me. This message was for me. How do I make it apply to me? How do I live what I've just heard?" And walk out after having heard from God more conformed to the image of Christ, more conformed by His Word being that hammer and that fire that shapes us. But if we sit there and we looking at our watch and wondering about what we're going to do the minute we get out of here, you know, if we sit there and we're thinking about making a list of all the good stuff we're going to do this afternoon, we're not listening to God. And maybe we missed that because we missed the first part and had that focus all wrong, and now we're not prepared for the second part. We just sit there and the Word doesn't touch us. I desire more and more. I guess I'm a little bit like Brother Collins. He hit the 50 mark in March. I'll hit it in May. I find myself more and more wanting to simplify. You find yourself more and more seeing folks that have gone on, or knowing folks that have gone on. And so much of the stuff that we put so much emphasis on, they don't care a thing about it anymore, you know. I want to be there hanging on to the feet of Jesus. And I realize that doesn't just happen automatically or easily. I understand more and more that there's a grave responsibility put upon me as an individual to be ready to worship in that first part of the service where He's the audience. And then to settle myself and listen in that latter part of the service where I'm to hear from God. And God help me and God help us to cut through the clutter.
Amen.
And focus on Him.
Yeah.
Brother Dan.
Amen.